you can, oh man. Only you can make us what we ought to be. We thank you today. We bless you. May the songs and the praise offerings be accepted before the throne of Almighty Yahweh, our Father, our Redeemer, our hope, in Yahshua Messiah, the hope of Almighty Yahweh. Receive our praise, worship, our prayer. Receive, Father, our commitments, our sincere devotion unto you, Father. Let that be the purpose of our hearts, that our intent and our motive will be pure, Father, with all sincerity and purity of heart. And touch your manservant today as he speaks to your people. And touch the ears of the hearers that they may hear, that they may desire to know the profound truths of their Father, and to worship him in the spirit of truth. We want to do that, Father. And that truth is to identify every corrupt thing that separates us from you, Father. For we know that transgressions, sins, iniquity, they are transgressions, or they are separators of Almighty Yahweh. And they have their strength in the flesh. For the flesh is not subject to the law of Yahweh, and neither indeed can it be. Help us today. Grant unto this house peace, the brothers, whoever they are, pastors, men of Yahweh, the daughters of Zion, precious mothers, bless them all, I pray. Touch your people with the finger of your love, I pray. We ask all things in Yahshua's mighty name. We bless you forevermore. And all the saints said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now before you sit down, I want you to look to your neighbor and say, I came for the truth today. Everyone, say, now what did you come for? Turn to someone else and say the same thing. I came for the truth today. What did you come for? You may be seated. Hallelujah. Only Yahweh can deliver unto us truth. What is truth? Well, it's the strength of Yahweh to make us free from every yoke and every bondage. And in the process of understanding that truth, we will give him honor and praise because we will know who has made us free. And in this hour, we need that above all things, truth. Truth. His truth. Not the doctrines of men. Not the traditions of men. But we need the truth of Almighty Yahweh. That it may break every shackle, every bondage, every spirit. It may cast out every vile thing. It caused our minds to be turned away from the truth. That there is no love for truth. And then there is no appetite for truth. That we don't search the things of Yahweh, the riches of his truth, to find those golden nuggets that bring the great strength of Yahweh to our hearts, souls, and our minds. We're going to need that in this hour. I know what religion has done. We can see the demise of the spirit of this nation today. It allures the people into a false security. And they actually think that everything is well. They thought that in the days of Noah, they thought that all things were well. Yet Yahweh intended to save only his house, his true call out elect. And he called Noah to build that ark capable of saving only those that Yahweh intended to save. And that was all he intended to save. You say, Pastor Roberts, well, he saved the others. That's not so. There are only eight saved. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And that is what we need today, men of righteousness. That their hearts are governed by the law of Yahweh. And Messiah is that spirit of the law that gives us strength to obey the Father in all things. And we do it with great pleasure today. Do we not want to cause his heart to delight? Do you truly want to cause the heart of Yahweh to be delightsome? I do. And there are things that Scripture tells us that he delights in. There are only a few things that Yahweh truly delights in. There are only a few things that cause the heart of Yahweh to delight, to be joyful, to be full. There are many things that are abominable before Him and causes His vengeance to fall down upon man. But there are only a few things that causes the heart of Yahweh to delight. Only a few things. And I want to show you one that is vitally important today. And it is the one thing that we reject above all things. We despise it. We have no appetite for it. We don't love it. We try to circumvent it. We try to go around it. We try to go past it. But we don't go the way that He says, go. Now, I want to show you two things that He delights in. And the third thing I want to emphasize above all things. First of all, a false balance is an abomination unto Yahweh. What is a false balance? You that have the spirit of hypocrisy, you're up, you're down, you're sometime, you're false. You don't do things out of a righteous heart. Your spirit is not pure. So you do things in a way that is a false balance. You pretend to do it one way. And yet there is great deception in your heart because you want to deceive the one of those that you appear to be right. So first of all, that is an abomination unto Yahweh. But He tells us that a just balance is His delight. Temperance. A man that has balance in his life, in his heart. A daughter of Zion that has balance, that is one of Yahweh's delight. And what is this world consumed of today, or what it consists of? Is a false balance. People are not what they actually think they are. They pretend that they are one thing and they're not. They want to emulate things that are so erroneous and false. And yet that is one of His delights. Those that have a perfect balance. Their love toward Him. Their sincere desire to please Him. And you don't find that today. You don't have to go beyond the parameter of your own heart. You search the context of your own heart. The issue is not you, it is you. It is not the one you're sitting next to, it is actually and literally you. And that is what a false balance does. It never sees one's own sins and corruption. We must begin to acknowledge those things in us that cause us to stray from those things that cause the heart of Yahweh to be delighted. I want to delight His heart. And if Scripture tells me how to cause His heart to be delighted, I want to do that. He does not bear upon us no more than we can bear. And what He asks us to do, it is a small thing in comparison to what He has prepared for us. He has prepared it. So that false balance is an abomination, but a just way, a righteous spirit, a righteous heart. Yahweh takes delight in that. He says also that a froward heart, one that loves to speak, they have no control. They have no control in their lives. He said that that is an abomination. One that is froward, a corrupt intent. The heart is wicked. He said that is an abomination unto Him. But the upright in their way, and we walk in the way of truth. He said, now that is My delight, the upright in their way. And that way is Yahweh's way, because all the ways of a man, they seem right in his own heart. But Yahweh, He weighs the spirit. He sees if a man sincerely is devoted to what? The things that he is doing. And if they are real in his life. You must understand that Yahweh must be real to us. He shows us with the expression of everything that is created. That He wants us to acknowledge Him in everything. And that He is real. Now those are two things that He delights in. The way of a righteous man or righteous man's heart. A just balance when you judge things righteously. With a pure heart, with a pure intents. Your motive is sincere. And there's one more thing that causes the heart of Yahweh to delight wholesomely, and we despise it wholeheartedly. There's no love for it. There's no desire for it. What is it, preacher? It's in Scripture. And I want to tell you where it's at. Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. Now I will emphasize this with great emphasis today. Proverbs 15 verse 8. It says that the sacrifice of the wicked, or the offering of the wicked, is an abomination unto Yahweh. When a man turns his heart against the true governing of Yahweh, and he pretends that he is something that he is not, that is a wicked man or a wicked woman. When they began to go after spirits that are strange, they are wicked, because it turns the heart away from the pure things of Almighty Yahweh, whereby they do not delight in the laws of Yahweh or in the truth of Yahweh. When a man's heart is sincere, he delights in the laws, as David said. He delights in the truth of Yahweh. And Yahweh says that when a man that is wicked, that his offerings are vile and unclean unto me. They have no purpose. They have no satisfaction to me. But he says, but the prayer of the upright is my delight. Do you hear that? He said, the prayer of the upright is my delight. Now that is what I delight in. Only the upright in heart will desire to pray. When your heart is not right, you will not desire to pray. You will fight against it. You will speak against the thing that literally caused the heart of Yahweh to delight. You search your own heart in this hour today and see if there is a desire and a burning compelling to pray. And you will know what you desire or what desire in your heart. But that is one thing that Yahweh delights in. He delights in the prayer of the upright. You must understand that there is a way to pray. And there is a way to meditate. Now what we do in the morning and evening, that is what we literally call meditation. But when a man prays, the scripture must give us instruction how to pray. And we must pray the way scripture says pray. We must pray the way scripture says pray. And we must have examples as to how to pray. You ask yourself that question and see how you will avoid prayer. See how there is no willingness to pray. And see how there is no drive to go into the house of Yahweh and to pray, knowing that that is his delight. Because only the upright, the hearts are right before Yahweh, they will pray. In this hour, saints, you're going to have to pray. We're going to have to do it with soberness, vigilance, and diligence in this hour. Above all hours, we must pray. We must cry with a deep devotion, with an earnest spirit. And when something is earnest, it is the mind and the heart and the spirit that has a tremendous motivation and an intention to please Yahweh. No, it's not your little quiet, unspoken words. But scripture shows us there are examples of prayer whereby the powers and the shackles of hell will not be broken but by that example of prayer. And we wonder why there are things in our lives that are not broken. Because we don't pray the way Yahweh says pray. We know that that is his delight. We ought to delight to pray. But there is no delight in praying. If that pleases the heart of our Father, that should never trouble you. It should never bother you to come into the tabernacle to pray before Almighty Yahweh. It should cause your heart to rejoice because you know that your Father would delight in that thing above all things. And he delights in the upright when they began to pray. Prayer is a devotion of sincerity. And it is the heart that the intention is pure to cry out unto the one that they know, that they personally know, and that one is able to supply all that is needed. And only Yahweh can do that. And in this hour we avoid it. It is not a great driven desire to pray today. Because the flesh does not want to please Yahweh. There's nothing about your flesh that wants to please the Father. It doesn't want to please the Father. The flesh takes pleasure in sin. And when we don't pray, it is a sin. There is a seed of corruption in our hearts.
When there is no willingness to pray, then we deny the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. As Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And as Saul said, men ought to always pray. We ought to always pray, saints. Not sometime. But there is an hour and a time that we must come into the tabernacle and we must pray in the fashion that Yahweh intends for us to pray. Have your heart ever spoken out against prayer? You don't like it because your praying seems like all of these disciplines? Do you not know that the world, to master anything, it takes great discipline? Those football players practice 365 days a year, every day for hours. A basketball player, anyone in his craft, they must always practice. You must do that. And yet for us to perfect the love of Yahweh in us, we have taken this traditional law and this false assumption that we can just say, Lord, help me, or Lord, I love you. And that is prayer. That is not prayer. This trust that we call prayer is not prayer. That is no devotion. You know in your spirit of prayer whether you're truly devoted unto the Father. And if you are not devoted unto Him, you will find means not to do the things that show Him some kind of devotion. So if you're not devoted, then there is no prayer life. And we're going to need prayer life in this great trial that is about to come upon the face of the earth, and that all shall experience that. That is our avenue of comfort and strength and great deliverance. It's not going to come any other way. So when you murmur or speak against the prayer of Yahweh, it's because you are so corrupt. You are so vile. There is nothing clean in you. Your mind and your spirit is polluted. And there is no devotion, no dedication unto the Father. One that is dedicated will pray. Was Messiah dedicated unto Yahweh? Did not the scripture tell us to consider Messiah? Unless we actually get weary in our minds and faint, he endured such contradiction. Did not he leave us an example how we ought to pray? And that times that there are certain kinds of prayers must come forth. Did he not leave us that? Then there is a way to pray. And scripture shows us that. That is Yahweh's delight. And we as a people, our hearts don't delight in prayer. We don't delight in prayer. You can say what you will and say what you may, but Yahweh is dealing with us from scripture. And their examples to show us that men do not like to pray. They have time for sleep and everything, but no time for prayer. So man doesn't want to pray. He doesn't. The only way there's going to be a burning desire in his heart, he must begin to walk in the uprightness of Yahweh. He must begin to walk honest with a pure balance before Yahweh. When he identifies a sin or something corrupt in him, he must say, this is corrupt about me. I am wrong. When a daughter of Zion finds something in her that is not pure, she must identify that thing. And if she doesn't identify it, it causes her to become even more abominable before Yahweh because she began to display a false balance. She pretends she's this and she's something else. He pretends he has a love for Yahweh and there is no love for the Father. The scripture is our way of life. It is the truth of life. And it shows us. Shows us everything about us that contradict the law of Yahweh. He takes delight in prayer. The upright that pray unto the Father, Yahweh delights in that. There is a tremendous gratifying to Him. His heart is thrilled with that. Do you understand that? It's not your offerings or your gifts. He takes more delight in your obedience. And what is the obedience? That we must pray always. There must always be a prayer. David tells us when to pray and how to pray. Messiah showed us how to pray. And the assembly after Pentecost showed us the kind of prayer that's going to bring deliverance. And there's only one kind of prayer that's going to bring deliverance. This trash we call prayer, it never brings deliverance. Keeps us in bondage to our will, our flesh. And we have no ability to move beyond that. And that is the truth. Look at what David says in Psalms chapter 55, verse 16 and verse 17. He instructs us when to pray, what time to pray, David says in Psalms 55, verse 16, David says, "Ask for me." Now that's what you need to say. Say that, "Ask for me." Come on, say, "Ask for me." Come on, say that, "Ask for me." He said, "I will call upon Yahweh, and Yahweh shall save me. He shall deliver me." He said, "Now ask for me, that's what I'm going to do. If no one else wants to pray, you pray. You ask for me, I'm going to call upon Yahweh. And he shall save me from the corruption of my own flesh." It is your own heart of mine. It is your own fleshly motivation that corrupts you more than anything upon the face of the earth. So he declares, "As for me, I will call upon Yahweh, and Yahweh shall." Now there's no doubt that's why I call upon him, for he shall deliver me or save me. He says, I want to tell you something, people. He says, "Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray." Now he shows you how he's going to pray. It says in the next three words, he said, "I will what? And what? And cry aloud. 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 And cry aloud." This is a generation that doesn't want to cry aloud. He says, "Evening, noon, and morning will I pray, and I will cry aloud." Now, it's not going to come by your little sophisticated prayer. It's not going to come by your little meditation. There are things that bring deliverance, that break the shackles of sin, and you must cry aloud like David prayed. He said, "I must cry aloud." He said, "I will cry aloud, and he shall hear." What? His what? So in order for your voice to be heard, you must speak with your voice. "Well, I speak with my mind." That is not what Yahweh told you and how to pray. That there are times you speak with your mind in meditation, and there are times you must cry aloud. We are in an hour where you must cry aloud. You must cry with your voice. You must pray unto the Father with your voice. And you must find that secret place that nothing interrupts. Nothing prevents you. David was a man after Yahweh's own heart. Yahweh loved David. And David said, "I will call upon Yahweh. I know him. That's why I call upon him." He prayed to the Father. And don't tell me Messiah taught us anything differently. He told us to pray unto the Father. We ought to pray unto the Father. His name is not God and it's not Lord. It certainly isn't Gad. Gad God. His name is Yahweh. And he told us to pray unto the Father. And you're not going to pray in your little sophisticated way. There's a time that you need to pray like that. There's a time that you need to meditate. And then there's a time you need to cry aloud or make your voice heard. That even as the Pharisees, they knew how to pray. And the scribe, they will stand in the place and they will have on their plastery. And they will pray aloud. Yes, they would. They will cry out because they knew the order of prayer. Our flesh doesn't love praying because it exposed every secret thing of our heart. You began to talk to Yahweh, he will show you what you are, what you're made of. He will show you your sin. That's why there's no enthralling to pray. That's why there's no pressing in the hearts of this generation to pray. We don't have that burning desire, but that is one thing that Yahweh delights in. And that is why Satan gives you all kinds of things, surfeiting, drunkenness, the cares of this world, that you cannot pray. And scripture says that. He doesn't want you to pray. He wants you to take delight in the things that corrupt even the inward part of man. You always say prayer will bring the power of strength and deliverance unto a man's soul. He lets you know, "I delight in prayer. I delight in prayer. I like your singing, but I delight in prayer. I like your preaching, but I delight in prayer." Because it shows a devotion. It shows a sincere oneness or a sincerity of one's heart. That's why we must do it. And he wants us to come to the house where his name is. There's a time to pray on your knees at home. And there's a time to come to the house. There's a time when darkness is near. You need to come to the house. You need to come to the tabernacle and get on your face before Yahweh and cry aloud for his great deliverance. There's examples in scripture I will show us. We must pray that way, saints. That's what this pagan world has taught us. You can say it in your mind and that's prayer. No, it's not prayer. That's just a meditation. That's just a form of meditation. That's all it is. When you express something unto Yahweh, there's witnesses. You may be praying beside a brother or sister, and one may hear that prayer. And they may say, "My, I'm of the same nature. My heart is just like that." And if that one can confess that before the Father, then I must confess my sins as well. That's why there is not much confessing today. We don't confess our faults because of the spirit of pride and the spirit of hatred against Yahweh. He loves prayer. He delights in prayer. And Satan take us away from that. He take us to every extreme but pray. He remove us from everything but prayer. I don't care if I make one friend today. It makes no difference at all. From Esaias, my friend, I would declare what the truth says, what the word of Yahweh says. David declared in Psalms 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Look at what he says to Yahweh. There's a difference between a prayer and a meditation. David says in Psalms 5:1, he says, "Give ear to my words, O Yahweh." And then he told him, he said, "Consider my meditation, my little quiet whispering or my little talk to you." There's a time to meditate. There's a time to whisper things to Yahweh. He said, "But there's a time for you to hear my words and consider what I whisper, or consider this little prayer or this little meditation on you, Yahweh. Consider that." He says, "Hearken." Verse 2, "Hearken, listen unto the voice of" what? "My cry." He did not say the voice of my meditation. He said, "But hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my Father, for unto thee will I pray." Yahweh hasn't changed that. It hasn't changed because Messiah gave us understanding of whom the Father is. That has not changed one bit at all. Look what he says in verse 3. He said, "My voice shall thou hear in the morning." You come into Yahweh's tabernacle, saints. There are times that your voice ought to be heard. He said, "My voice you will hear in the morning." Hallelujah, Yahweh. Bless you, Father. Deliver me, Yahweh. Deliver me. He said, "My voice will be heard in the morning, O Yahweh. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." He said, "I will cry out unto you, Yahweh." In the mornings, our prayers ought to be directed unto the Father, and we ought to look up unto Him. Yahweh hasn't made no mistake in what He says in Scripture. It's the corruption of man, our own wickedness, that tried to change the simplicity of His truth. That's not a hard thing to do. Reason is hard because we're carnal and fleshly. We're sold unto sin. We love sin pleasure. We love the things that sin manifests in us. Why? Because sin has a pleasure. It has a pleasure. The prayer of Yahweh has no pleasure to the flesh. It brings it under the control, power, and the law of Yahweh. David said, "In the morning I'm going to cry out with my voice. I'm going to look up. After I pray, I'm going to look up and say, I know my Redeemer lives." That's what he's going to say. "We come into Yahweh's house and never look up. We come and our voices are never heard unto him." Why he wants us to do that? That there will be others that witness that I'm sincere and I am devoted. Whether you do it or not, I am devoted. I won't let anyone stop me from coming into Yahweh's house in the morning and blessing his name and singing it unto him and crying out. And it's nothing but a moan at times as you hear Sister Hornback that just moaning and groaning. Those things ought to come forth out of us. It ought to. We should not sit silent in Yahweh's house. In the morning our voices shall be heard. That others, even going through their situation under the shackles, that they are under the bondage, can be broken. I will preach what Scripture says. And show you what Scripture says. Your voice heard. You look up. Isn't that a battle? Because we come before Yahweh. Our flesh actually control your prayer. We ought to have the spirit of Yahweh. The Kudush Ruah. It knows what things we need to pray for. What we ought to cry for. And the spirit will lead us into prayer. But our flesh is what leads us. Our flesh. Don't feel like it. Not up to it today. Don't want to be here. Woe unto your soul. And don't tell me that's not the mindset. We have to wrestle with those things and deal with them. But they have no power at all over us at all. As the old saints will say, prayer changes things. It does. We truly pray. The reason there are not many changes in our lives is because we don't pray. There's a time to meditate. David said, here, consider my meditation. You go to any decent Hebrew lexicon and it will show you what the words meditation means. It means a quiet whisper, a cried out to Yahweh in a quiet way from one's heart that is perfectly and acceptable unto Yahweh. There's a time for that, and there's a time to cry out as well. There's a time to holler out and to cry loud, and there's a time to be quiet. I believe that. You can't have the balance unless you got the both. If you just got one, you're off balance. You don't realize how important one little toe is. Or one leg, or one foot, one arm, one hand. It's important. Helps you maintain balance. And so the laws of Yahweh helps us to maintain balance. He says in verse 3 again, he said, my voice shall be heard in the morning, O Yahweh. And in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. We should direct our prayer unto Yahweh. That's what Messiah said. When you pray our Father. I know where you are in the heavens. And honorable and hallowed is thy name. And you must call that name out Yahweh. That is his name, not Lord, not pagan God, not pagan Jesus. It is Yahweh. David did not pray in that name, but one name that he prayed in. And that was the name of the Father. And Messiah did not teach us anything any different. What he said unto us, this is the sure confidence of your prayer. I will show you how to pray. Because I do know the Father. And you pray this way, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I bless you for the atonement of my sins through the hope, the blood of Messiah. That hope that redeems me from every curse of the law, the flesh, every corrupt thing that my flesh desires. I bless you for that. That should be our prayer, saints. Yahweh delight in prayer. He wants to hear us praying, saints. And he says to the powers of hell, look at that. A sharp time went before Yahweh for Eo, but Job, he knew what manner of man he was. And Job, did he pray? The scripture tells us how he brought offerings unto Yahweh. Even for his sons and daughter, even though peradventure, they had prayed. Now that's what prayer does, saints. You mothers with your children, you need to pray that the hand of Yahweh rests upon them. That he protects them. You need to anoint them with oil in the morning. And lay your hands on them and pray. You fathers need to anoint your homes. Your sons and your daughters. Your wives and yourself. And pray the prayer of faith. Not time for video games and that trash. Get it out of your homes. It takes away from the things of Yahweh. Got time for that kind of trash, but no time for prayer. Got time for Walmarts and hours. We'll avoid prayer to go to Walmarts and Kmarts. That is wicked. Don't feel good to pray, but feel good for Walmart. No energy to prayer, but energy for Kmart. No energy for the value of prayer, but energy for Value City. Something is wrong in your spirit. Prayer is the strength of a people today. Shaul says in 1 Thessalonians. Listen to what scripture says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 15. Shaul says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Don't do evil things unto one, to a brother or any man. It's not just dealing with brothers, but any man. He said, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. You do right among yourselves. You do good amongst yourself. A brother or sister doesn't do right by you. You still do good among them. You do right among them. You do right among all men. That they may see the power and the strength of Yahweh upon your life. That's a vile thing in this hour, saints. Hear me. A false balance. That hypocrisy. That is an abomination. You pretend you love and you don't truly love. You pretend you can. You don't truly care. You pretend you're on Yahweh's side and you're not on Yahweh's side. That's a false balance. It is abominable unto Yahweh. You will cry like David, search me, Yahweh. Search my heart, try my reign, and see if there is any wicked thing in me. He tells us to rejoice evermore, always rejoice. He said, pray without ceasing, without intermittently. Your mind, there should always be prayer. There should be meditation and prayer. He said, pray without ceasing, or that's without any intermitting, without anything interrupting you. He said, in everything give thanks. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of who? It says in the KJV, this is the will of God. This is the will of Yahweh in Messiah concerning you. So we ought to pray without ceasing. There should always be a continuous prayer. Yahweh would that men would pray everywhere now, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. We should always pray. We shouldn't doubt the prayer when we pray unto Yahweh. We can't pray with wrath in our hearts. You can't pray doubting the word of Yahweh. That's why you search your heart. That's why you get it right before you come before the altar, before you come into Yahweh's house. You get it right. You can't pray without wrath. You got this strife in your spirit and the fight. Ready to contradict one another. That's why the prayer today is just going this high. If it's going that high, it's going no higher than our natural flesh will take us. We need something that will penetrate into the heavens of Yahweh. We need something to go like a sweet smelling savor. These that will be headed for the sake of Yahweh, their prayer, the savoring smell of their prayer. We need that kind of prayer life. You ask yourself, do I have that kind of prayer life? And every last one of us with the honesty of Yahweh, we can say, no, it's not so, Father. You can pretend all you want to. That is no excuse. So we must begin to pray. For Yahweh delights in that. You put that before you put anything else. You put that before sleep. You put that before work. You put that before eating. You put that first. You ought to be a prayer that is consistent in our lives. But you can't make it here, then you can meditate. You can pray. You can call upon Him when you're driving, at work. Whatever you're doing, you can pray unto Yahweh. You can meditate upon Him. When you realize what wonderful things He's done, then you thank Him. And then you fall down in a place and you pray like men of old. And they prayed earnestly. They prayed with a vocal expression. Scripture says so. And that's the truth. He writes unto Timothy, Shaul, in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 5, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. He says, I want to let you know, for there is one Father. There's only one mighty one. That's it. He said, one mediator. Between now, do you hear that? It says there's how many mediators? And who is that mediator between? Yahweh and men. So there is someone between us and man. Between man and Yahweh. And that man is Messiah, Yeshua. He is the mediator. He is the one that speaks on our behalf. He takes our messages and our prayer and He interprets that unto the Father. That's what it says. One mediator between man and Yahweh. He said the man, Messiah, Yeshua Messiah. He said who gave Himself a ransom for all to testify in due time. Shaul said, wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. He said, I speak a lie in Messiah. He said, I speak the truth. And lie not, there is no lie in my lips. He said, I am a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in verity. You can be sure what I am preaching, it has been established by the hope of Messiah. He said, no doubt about that. He said, I will not. All scriptures given by the inspiration of Yahweh. He said, I will therefore men pray everywhere. Everywhere you ought to pray. He said, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting, without reasoning or disputing. Why Deacon Benny saying, let's pray on Friday? Why dispute that? Why doubt that? Why, Sister Robert said we get together and pray. Why doubt that? Why dispute that? Why do that? Why oppose that? Why oppose the things that cause Yahweh's heart to delight? Don't you know we are sick and we oppose that? Let oppose the thing that causes a stench to go before his nostrils. The abominable things. Don't oppose the things that cause his heart to rejoice and to say, look at my children. You have opposed his prayer. You have opposed a little time for him to come before him. He said, this is the will of Yahweh. He did not speak as a man, as Shaul. He spoke as an apostle. That's why he said, I am ordained, first of all, a preacher, and I am an apostle. I am a chief man of Yahweh, and I speak with direct authority and mandate from my Father. He said, a man needs to always pray. And in your prayer, if you're praying, if you're out there praying and meditating the way you say you're praying, sometimes you're going to lift your hands up. Come on and hear me, saints. You're going to lift your hands up. If you truly got sincere prayer in you, you're going to lift your hands up. That's what scripture says. That you're surrendering all, that Yahweh, I'm devoted, that I'm captivated with you. I know who you are. My. That's what he means. You can't lift up your hands. You don't even have no prayer in you. These are the things that the devil has told us that they're not significant, but they are. Scripture says they are. They are. Never hard to open up unto Yahweh or to lift up our voices. There's no devotion. He's simply not real to you. The Boston Red Sox won the World Series. Their God was real to them. They cried in the streets of Boston. A parade is going to cost them $5 million. The homeless people in Boston. It's getting cold in Boston. And they're going to take $5 million with confetti and drunkenness, reveling, to acknowledge their God. I saw in the USA Today a young man, he was just crying. Because Boston has won a World Series, hadn't won one since 1918. You ought to saw him, he was just telling it. You tell me what David said, he cried unto Yahweh aloud. You tell me that's not important. You are a false hypocrite. You are an abomination unto Yahweh. They cry out to their gods. And prayers associated with that. I want to pray like Messiah prayed. Then let's go to the scripture, find out how he prays. There's a way to pray. If the wicked world prays to their gods like that, prayer is not just synonymous with Yahweh. A prayer is any kind of devotion to anyone that you deem as superior and the mighty one or the creator. And so those folks were so happy in Boston that they had won, that they rejoiced in the spirit of their God. He tells them to drink, to commit every kind of sin. And actually one little young woman died. College student, shot in the eye. Reveling in drunkenness. Rowdiness. Turning over cars. Setting fires. We ought to set a fire blaze on our souls as though corrupt flesh. That it may love Yahweh. I don't want nobody near me saying, you don't need to pray. Don't take all that. That's wrong. You need to pray always. You need to pray without ceasing. When someone says that, you ought to search your hearts. Why would someone say that to you? Why would we talk to one another like that? You ought to pray always. Pray without ceasing. And when there is no desire to pray, something is drastically, diabolically wrong in our hearts. You wonder how many times you've avoided it. You can answer that yourself. You can be a hypocrite all you want to and say you haven't. The truth makes me free. Have you ever done that, Pastor Robert? Well, sure I have. You can be a hypocrite. See, Yahweh hates a false balance because it's an abomination. But he delights in the upright. Say, Father, help me. I've done wrong. See, one with a false balance never see they wrong. When you find someone that never see they're wrong in their sin, something is wrong, something is missing. You know when you sin. You know when you do wrong. You know when you speak wrong. I want to take us on this Luke journey, beginning in Luke chapter 6. It's the Messiah prayer journey. I call it the Messiah, Yahshua prayer journey. I want to show you how he prayed in different instances. Luke chapter 6 verse 12. If he prayed this way, don't you know I want to pray this way, saints? It says in Luke chapter 6 verse 12, Messiah's prayer journey. It said it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. He went into the high place to pray. And we need to get into our mountaintops and pray, saints. You don't, you ought to come in Yahweh's house with energy and a zeal to pray. You don't come in Yahweh's house all sluggish and beat down. There ought to be a zeal. It ought to be a motivation to pray. He went into a mountaintop for one thing to pray, and he continued for 2 hours. He continued how long? How long did he pray? He prayed all night to whom? It says to God in the King James, but he prayed to Yahweh. And if he prayed to the Father, I want to pray to the same one that Messiah prayed to. He prayed all night. He prayed all night. There's a burning, compelling desire. He had to pray. There are times that you need to pray and you need to cry out. Not your meditation. Not with just a little mind thought. You need to pray. He was doing something the next day that he had to know he was led by the Father. So he had to pray all night. He didn't pray part of the night. He didn't get weary at 1:30. He prayed all night. He prayed all night. He prayed that way. Yet we can't pray 1 hour with him. 2 hours. We're perturbed. 3 hours. Our hearts become hard. Why do we do this? Can I tell you why we pray? Yahweh delights in it. That's why you pray. Because you're showing you trust him. You're devoted to him. Whether he gives you a piece of bread or not, you still pray. He knows what things you have need of. You don't have to ask him for bread, he'll give you bread. You don't have to ask him for nothing. He knows what you have need of. He takes care of the sparrows, the buzzards, the eagles. He takes care of the rabbits and everything. Are we not much more valuable to him than a buzzard or sparrow? He know what we have need of. So we don't have to pray for those repetitious things, that repetitious prayer. He want our prayer to be an earnest steadfastness in our mind and our hearts that we truly trust him. That's what prayer is. That is what it is. That we're committed unto him. It's not the words that you even say. That times it must be done in moaning and groaning. You just groan and moan. Sigh in your spirits with supplication. That you're sincere in what you're doing. He prayed all night long unto the Father. Why? And when it was day or daylight, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. He called all of his disciples, and of them he chose 12 of those he called them apostles. So he had to pray. There are times that you got to pray through the night. You got to pray through the valleys. You must press and you must cry. We are in an hour whereby we are headed to a great valley of Hidan, a great battles, spiritual battles like never before. And if you don't sense the intensity of them somewhere in your carnal mind, you have began to draw a legion unto hell, and Shaitan has given you a false delusion or an illusion to make you think you're all right. And so in the midst of one of the greatest moments, he had to pray all night. He cried out unto the Father all night. He couldn't make a mistake on that. It had to be righteous ordained of the Father. He didn't pray for 5 minutes. He didn't pray for 15, 20 minutes. He prayed all night long, saints. And that time is going to take an all night prayer. It's going to take you praying all night. That time we must pray all night. That we may get the direction of Almighty Yahweh. That he may speak unto us. So he prayed. For one purpose, to hear from the Father. He prayed to the Father. And the Father spoke to him. Thaddeus, Bartholomew, Kephar, Luke. And he chose every last one of them. He said, now appoint you as apostles. Men, a spiritual anointing. Whereby the Father will speak to you. And you will know that it is the Father. That's why he wants us to pray. That he will speak to us. That's why Messiah said, I pray for these. I don't pray for the world. But I pray for these. That you keep them from the world. That you keep them from the world. You keep the world out of them. Scripture tells us why we can't pray much, saints. I will show us in Scripture. It tells us why we can't pray. It tells us why there's no willingness. It's in Scripture. You might as well love the Father and get angry at yourself. Luke 9, chapter 25. Luke 9, verse 25. Messiah says, he said, for what is a man? What is a man advantage? If you gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away. What is my advantage or your advantage if you have all the riches and then you lose your soul? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and for my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come into his own honor and in his Father's and in the holy Melchim. He says in verse 27, but I tell you the truth. Did not Paul say that? I speak the truth and I lie not. Did not Shaul say that? He said, I tell you the truth. He said, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of Yahweh. And he came, and it came to pass, after he had spoken that now, and it came to pass after about 8 days, after these sayings, he took Peter, he took John, and he took James, and he went up into a mountain to pray. He found that place of solitude to pray. And when someone is truly praying, it changes your heart, saints. It changes your identity. Look what it says, hear me. Don't get weary, don't let your eyes get weary. He says, and as he prayed, verse 29, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. You see someone that truly gets before Yahweh and pray. When they come out of prayer, you can sense the change in their countenance. That's the true saint. Prayer makes a change. And he prayed in a way that it caused his whole countenance to change. Our countenance don't change because it's the prayer. That's why we stay the same, dead, twice dead, plucked up by the root, no love of Yahweh in us. He said that his whole countenance was altered, and his raiment white and glistening. That his whole appearance was nothing like it was before he went into prayer. We truly get before Yahweh, it will change us. It will change our appearance. It will change our attitudes. The reason your attitude is not changed because you don't pray. He'll change your countenance, your heart, and your spirit. Preach to me, Pastor Robertson. Speak to me, Father. And he prayed whereby his whole countenance was changed. We come to prayer, our countenance the same when we come in and when we go out. We come in like hellhounds and we go out like hellhounds. We come in with wrath and doubting, we go out with wrath and doubting. You haven't prayed. You haven't prayed. You come in with this scorn and this sneer of your countenance. You go out with this scorn and this sneer. You haven't prayed. What am I truly praying for? You know that that's in your spirit. You will cry out that Yahweh may change the inward structures of your life, your heart. There must be a change. And prayer changes things. It causes one to change. We don't change much because we don't pray. Our attitudes never change. Can I tell you something? Something is wrong with you. Or if you are the same you were 6 months ago. I look back 6 months. I said I was a little boy. I look back 6 months from the day. And I will still say I was a little boy. Just a little small progression. But yet it's a progression. Getting closer to that great event that Messiah said that he's going to put on his own honor. That there's going to be a prestige about him. That he's going to have on his honor what the Father has bestowed upon him. And even the holy Melchim, they will know that this is the honor of the Father. That's why the enemy has taken that desire out of the hearts today. No prayer. That's why folks don't like the prayer. Yahweh delights in the prayer of the upright. We know that if any man be a worshiper of Yahweh, him his prayer, he will hear. And prayer is a part of worshiping. It is a devotion. It is an honesty and integrity of heart that we fall before Yahweh. Even Job said that he prayed because of the integrity and the humbleness of his heart. That's why he prayed. Yahweh knew the integrity of his heart. And he prayed unto Yahweh. You have no integrity, you won't pray. We can't put anything before that. Because that pleases Yahweh more than the offerings. More than your giving. That pleases Yahweh. He delights in that. When someone delights, they get gleeful. They may jump up and down. They will clap their hands. That's what a delight is. It's more than just being happy. That's one of the attributes of delight. That's one of the attributes of delighting. And Yahweh did not say the prayer of the saints may be happy. He said, I literally delight in that. Makes them dance. That's how important. That's why the enemy has corrupted the mindset through what? Through surfeiting, through drunkenness of this world and the cares of this life, whereby you can't pray. That's why we cannot pray. We speak this for our warnings. For our preparation. We're going to have to pray before we come into an hour. America is going to crumble. You hear what no one says? She's coming down. She's built on a false illusion. Hollywood dictate. Everybody's taken by the Hollywood holotry. It's a spirit of holotry. It's a spirit of whoredom. It's a form of worship. It is a God deity there. It is a God spirit in Hollywood. Everybody gravitates to Hollywood. Politicians, leaders at all. It is a false God in this nation that distorts the thinking and the minds of the young, the old, black and white, crazy, and those that we say are intellectual. It corrupts them. That's what it does. Your spirit is not right when there is no willingness and no heart to pray. So the next time the enemy put that in your spirit, you just let him know, I know what this is. Yahweh delights in me praying. That's what he does. I won't avoid it. Hallelujah. He prayed in a way that his whole countenance was changed. If you began to pray right, you will be changed, saints. You will change. You will change. Your heart will change. Your desire will change. It hasn't changed because we don't pray right. Messiah's prayer journey. Luke 21:34. This is for us here, specifically. Luke 21:34, he says, first of all, you need to take heed to your brother and sister. Say it loud for me. Everyone say that. Take heed to yourself. He said, take heed therefore to yourself, lest at any time, whose heart now? Your heart. Be overcharged now, overtaken, with surfeiting. Your violent consumption of alcohol, actually. But this is the violent consumption of the world. The things of the world. He said with surfeiting and drunkenness, whereby your mind is so inebriated that there's no desire to pray. That's what drunkenness does. You don't want to pray. You don't want to lift up your voice. He says, and the cares of this life, and the cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawarely. These are the things whereby this great day shall come upon them unawarely. They're surfeiting, they're full of drunkenness, and they care more for this life. They have more aspiration for this life. And the mighty manifestation of Messiah is going to come upon them, and they're not going to be aware of it. This generation is not aware of what's taking place. It's not thoughtful of what things are transpiring in this hour. Because of surfeiting and drunkenness. They have no mindset or no mind. Their minds are not on the things of Yahweh. He said, for as a snare shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Not just America, but China. Russia. Poland. The Bahamas. Africa. It's going to be a snare. They're going to be caught in the gin. He said, I want to give you one word. He said, I'm telling you. Look what he tells us to do now. Verse 26, he says, watch. Watch now. Let your spirit be sober and clear. He said, watch ye therefore and pray sometimes now. He said, pray always. Pray always. Pray always. Pray always. Why? That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. He said, you must be very watchful. And you got to pray. You got to watch for your soul, saints. You have to watch what things you allow to enter into your spirit and your mind. He said, you watch. Because the surfeiting and the chaos of this world, it will bring you to a place where you become so inebriated. You can't think righteously. And when you can't think upright, you won't pray upright. You will not want to pray upright. Because you don't think that way. You think as a carnal man. How does a carnal man think? He thinks about the things in this life. He thinks about longevity in this life. And all those things are going to pass. I mean to tell you, they are saints. They're going to pass. This life is going to cease. And as the old saints say, all that we do for Yahweh, that's the only thing that's going to stand. Just like Hezekiah, when Isaiah went to him, he says, he went before Yahweh, what did he do? He turned his face to the wall and he began to weep and cry and pray. And the memorial of Hezekiah came up before Yahweh. He had a memorial. He said, no, you go back and tell him I'm going to add life to him. That's what he did. That's why we need to watch and pray that we are able or counted worthy to escape these things. What do you mean, Yahweh, to escape? That we will be saved from them. That's why David said, I will pray and you will save me from these things. They're going to come upon the whole earth, he said. But you pray and you watch that you will not be taken under by the power of these things. That's what he is saying to us. That's why you need to watch. You need to watch your soul and your mind and your spirit. Don't have a false balance, saints. Let your balance be righteous. Don't have a false balance. Don't go that way. Let your balance be sincere. He said, I would that would be hot or cold. You're lukewarm, I will spew you out. Don't be a hypocrite. If you're just going to be a flat out sinner, just go and be a sinner. That's how you do it. If you're going to be a saint, be a saint. If you're going to be a hypocrite, if you're going to be a hypocrite, just be a hypocrite. If you're going to be a saint, just be a saint. But don't be no in between. Don't be a phony talking about you're a saint and then you love the world and play with the world and talking about you love your God. And then you play with your God and you find your balance. And he said that is an abomination. That's a vile thing. It's a filthy thing. It's an unclean thing. Do you understand what abominable is? It is so filthy that Yahweh will not even touch it. When it becomes an abomination before him, he won't even touch it. That's why women ought not to wear pants. It's a vile, unclean thing. It is abominable. It's vile. It's an unholy thing. The world loves it. You know it's abominable. The Luke journey. The prayer of Messiah. Luke 22, verse 39. I pray Yahweh bless your hearts today. And give us some resolve and some pressing to pray. I need it above all men. Whatever Yahweh speaks to me, I need it. For it is my strength of confidence in Him. He knows everything about you, doesn't He? So you can't hide anything. So when He speaks to us, you ought to just rejoice and say, bless you, Father. Because if Yahweh doesn't chasten you as a son, then you are a flat-out bastard. And so what he says to you doesn't correct you, you are a bastard. And if anyone here today that is above this message today, then that person or you are bastards. No one is above. Yahweh's judgment is correction. He knows what we need of. He knows what we have need of. He knows what to feed us. And that has been our problem. We are just like that man that weighs 1,070 pounds. He was big and he ate sumptuously every day. But there was no nourishment in what he ate. We eat all the time, but we don't receive the nourishment. Because the things that are good for us, we don't like it. The things that are not good for us, we like that. The body it was made of dirt. And you can go out here in dirt, you will find every kind of germ in dirt. It's filthy stuff. And so that's the makeup of this whole body. So it is our filthy things. That's why Messiah came to give us life. And the life of the Father. There's no unclean thing in your way. Nothing. Yahweh wants you to delight. He wants you to cause His heart to delight. And you show Him that by praying, and showing your devotion and dedication unto Him. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Messiah in the garden. It says, Messiah, and he went out, he went as was wont, or as customary, to the Mount of Olives. You notice the three prayers have been always been in a high place. Your flesh is a low, your flesh will take you lower than Atlas dung. That's what your flesh does. He says that he went to Mount Olives and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, he says, now you pray that you enter not into temptation. That ought to be our prayer. That we don't enter into temptation. And the scripture said, when he will withdraw from them a stone's cast, you figure out how far you can cast a stone. A stone cast. First of all, he did what? He kneeled down. That's what he did. You need to learn how to kneel, brothers and sisters. He kneeled down. And then he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. As scripture said, that appeared unto him and melach unto him from heaven. And it strengtheneth him. Now what is our strength? Well, the pure word of Yahweh, the truth. That's our strength today. And he actually strengthened the Messiah. And then look at this. Now this is the point we got to reach right here, Saints. I'm telling you. Because he was at the hour of death. And we're going to see death in this earth. I want to be alive because blessed are they that are alive and remain when he comes. So I'm preparing to live. He says this. Now look at this in verse 44. He was praying now. It says, and being in agony. Do you hear that, Saints? Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. The intensity of his mind and the seriousness of his mind and his heart. That's what earnest is. There is a tremendous intensity there. There is a tremendous driven motive there. Not just you thinking in your mind, Saints. That's good. But that time that you're going to have to agonize. That time we got to pray. That time that we must travail with earnestness. If he's our example, then we must pray with this kind of earnest spirit. He prayed earnest, more earnestly, and his sweat was as were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. What a prayer. I've never prayed like that. Haven't come close to it. I want to get to that kind of prayer. If I only experience it but one time in this life, I won't experience that. The prayer of agony. That there's nothing that comes between Yahweh and me, the fervent fire of whom he is, that it burns every draw, every kind of vile thing there is for my spirit and my heart. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? He said, why are you sleeping? He said, I'm telling you to rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. That's why David said, I will pray in the morning, I will pray in noon, and I will pray in the evening. He said, rise and pray. We rise in the morning, we pray. If you fall down before the bed of your house, you fall down and you bless the Father. You look up unto the heavens and thank him. There's going to be some agony of prayer in this hour. And we're going to agonize. Because our only saving power will come from Yahweh. Our only deliverance is going to come from him. Pastor Roberts, I don't believe so. It's coming, Saints. This nation has hoodwinked the folks. This economy is not what they tell us it is. She's not even hanging on by a thread, Saints. America is in deep trouble. We're going to see the massive chaotic mess that's going to take place in this nation. It's not a long time off. That's why you need to pray. Mothers and fathers are going to eat their sons and their daughters. They're going to eat their babies. They're going to sod them and eat them. We haven't seen that kind of hunger in this nation. We haven't. The Great Depression was nothing. It was just a rebuke to America. Because her balance was false. She wasn't right. She had a constitution that said all man was created equal. And then she did not treat all man equally. And so Yahweh took America through just a little rebuke to say, get right. And you began to see a transformation in this nation here. Sure you did. She began to mend her ways and began to do things right. And now she's fallen off into her deep religious gully. She's forgotten Yahweh. Oh, there were folks preaching the name of Yahweh back then. There were folks preaching, have always preached His name. This is not just some new phenomenon. This is not just something that passed around and discovered, or you discovered. It has always been that. They're preaching from the days of Noah. He did not preach in all the name, but one name. They had many gods back then. So His name is not new. He just took it out of the mouth of Yahudah because of their wickedness and their sins. And that's what He has done to this nation. There were men that knew His name. And even their ignorance, because man, they held fast to His word. Righteousness will exalt any nation. He did not say righteousness exalts a saintly nation, but righteousness exalts any nation. And sin is a reproach. It is a shameful, it's a mockery thing to any people. It's what I desire, what I by nature do, what the law of Yahweh says, that Yahweh bestows His blessings upon that. That doesn't mean that they will not go through judgment and see their just recompense. You did things in your sinful life to Yahweh did not destroy you before your time. You were given to much foolishness and much folly, and you should have died before your time. We all should have. Horror and sin, lies and corruption. And yet you didn't die before your time. And there are those that are dying before their time because they've been given to much foolishness. He didn't destroy you. And there are sinners that He hasn't destroyed. He hasn't given them over to the death. And that's the truth. So we need to begin to pray. As Messiah said, He said, there's a time to sleep and a time to get up. Rise, He said. He said, rise and pray. You need to rise in the morning and pray. And you pray that you do not enter into the temptation of this world, the surfeiting, the cares of this life, the things of this world that consume people and destroy the love of Yahweh. Of course, it's meant to take pleasure in the things of this flesh, in sin. Moshe, he denied, he rejected, he would not enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose rather to suffer with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasures of sin just for a short time. People today don't want to do that. They don't want to suffer with the people of Yahweh. Well, they're afflicting me. You know what the scripture says if you're afflicted? If there be any among you afflicted, it says what? Let him pray. If you are afflicted, the scripture says, let you ought to pray. If there be one afflicted among you, let him. See, you get afflicted, but you won't pray. That's what He says. If there be any afflicted among you, one that's trouble or you're in agony, you ought to get on your face and pray. We don't want to do that. Pray for me. No, you pray. Wicked thing, you pray. When they hurt me, we then pray. You're the one that's afflicted. Pray. Brother did me wrong, well, pray then. You just don't do him wrong. Sister did me wrong, well, you pray then. You were afflicted by that, then you pray. If any among you be afflicted, let him pray. You can't go against that. If you don't pray, then woe unto you. That's the scripture. I can't change it, and I won't change it. I wouldn't change it for all the money in the world. There's not enough money in the world to make me change it, because I can't change it. I have no power to change it, saints. Neither do you. Now, you can turn away from it, but you have no power to change scripture. No other man has authority to change his name. And his name is not God. It's not God. His name is Yahweh. That is His name. And that's who Messiah prayed to. He did not pray to some elusive God. He did not pray to some strange spirit. He prayed to the Father. And He knew His Father. He knew His Father. You all that have fathers, you have raised with your father. Do you know your father's name? Do you all know your father's name? What was your father's name, Elder Crawford? Ernest. What was your father's name, Jermaine? What is your father's name, Yosef? What is your father's name, Brother Sean? Ray. Elamar, what was your father's name? Brother James, what's your father's name? What is that? Leon. So we all know our fathers. If you know your father, then you were birthed in Bastardham. Now, I was birthed that way. Mama didn't have no husband. In a whoredom, I came forth. But that's just it. Can't dress it up. Fled out of whoredom, I came forth. That's how I was birthed. In the whoredom of her sins, I came forth. Well, you're a bastard. Oh, I'm a son. I hear what the Father says. I know my Father. Well, who is your Father? I know him. And I know the one that my mother said is my natural father. His name is R.J. I don't know what the R stands for. Neither do I know what the J stands for. But I do know his last name, Nichols. I do know that. R.J. Nichols. Never met him, but I know that name. So Messiah knew his father. That's where he said, pray, our Father. Our Father. You're my Father. I know where you dwell. You don't dwell in the earth like men. You're in heaven. And he said, I want to let you know something. You're such a mighty one. Your name is so hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. How do you get around that? How? Tell me how the world gets around that. How does Christian, and what they call this pagan, is pagan saints. It is so pagan that there's an article this morning in the Observer, what they call the life section, religious section, and all these whorehouses are saying, whatever way you celebrate Halloween, you must understand that it's all Hallow Eve. It's the Hallow Eve. But whatever way you celebrate it, you just be careful. What a wickedness. What a vile nature. You tell me. And they have thousands and ten thousands of members. You tell me anyone in that church going into the kingdom, they're going to hell. The pagan Sundays. Liars. The word of Yahweh is a hammer and a sword. That's why folks don't like it. It hammers them. It breaks you into pieces. It's a battle axe. It's a consuming fire. They want something that's watered down. That's what they want. They want something that's watered down. Give flesh room to do whatever it wants to. Give flesh the power to compromise. To walk any way it wants to. That's what it wants. It doesn't want anything that breaks the wheel of the flesh. Breaks the shackles of sin. So they find whorehouses. That's what they're finding today. Whorehouses. They're doing everything there is. Every filthy thing. Every corrupt thing they're doing, it says. They're doing it. I read some time ago in the paper that you can even bring your canine. They got everything in these whorehouses because the spirits are filthy. No filthy thing, no dog. No dog. Even in the intercourse of Yahweh's kingdom, no dogs. No dogs are coming in. And these dogs go in there, they're full of sin and corruption. They're vile. Even in the tabernacle of Yahweh, that was an outer court for the Gentiles. Made out enough fear that they didn't go beyond that place. And now they have no fear at all. They can go as prostitutes, as adulterers, as drug dealers, as liars, as perverters, and no one says anything. There's no preaching today. That what they call preaching, it is not the preaching of Yahweh.